Hello, hello, and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. Today is Wednesday. It's March the 24th, Wednesday of the fifth week of Lent. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, we've talked about this on the program before, but it really is hard to believe that we are this far into Lent. But as I told you before, I'm going to say it again. I don't want you to panic. Even if you have not made the progress that you thought you would make this Lent, let's follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue on. I want you to have hope, because think about this for a minute. God wants you to improve. God wants you and me to become holier. And we all need to improve in some area. He wants it to happen. So he's going to do everything in his power to make it happen. Now, even if you failed in your eyes, even if you thought you would be better or would have accomplished more or wouldn't have stumbled so much at this point in time, the fact that you have the desire to be better, even if you wish that it was better, you wish you had done more, you wish you could put God's will ahead of your own will. You see what I'm saying with this? If you have that desire, even if you have failed, God can work with that and bring about that change that you're looking for. So the key thing is to have the desire. And I'm not saying get hung up in regret, regretting the times you messed up. Because if we're not careful, that turns into pride, thinking that we can do this on our own. I should have done better. I should have been able to follow through. But if you keep that as a desire, I want to love God more by praying more. I want to love God more by reading more. I want to love him more by becoming a holier person, by being more patient, and so on and so forth. That want, that desire, can be used by God to make things happen. You know, it doesn't so much depend upon what you have accomplished, but what your desire is. You remember when we talked earlier, you might not, you might remember this. We talked earlier at the very beginning of Lent about the words of Jesus, the first recorded words of Jesus in Mark's gospel. When Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 1:15. That word repent in English comes from the Greek word metanoia, which is an internal change. It's a conversion. It's changing the way you think. So we're not just talking about external actions. Jesus wasn't just calling us to do good things. He was calling us to change the way we think. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can think more like Jesus thought. Now remember, every action that we perform, anything we do, begins with a thought. You probably never thought about that before, but it's true. Anything you do, anything you say, it begins in your head. Sometimes it's subconscious. You don't say to yourself, "I'm going to walk into the kitchen, open the refrigerator door, pull out a nice cold soda, open it up and drink it." You just do it. But the thought begins somewhere in your mind that I'm thirsty, I'm going to go get a drink, or I'm going to go get a snack. You know, and it just happens. The same thing when it comes to saying things. These things all begin with thoughts. So Jesus, during his proclamation, which again, the first recorded words of his in Mark's gospel, so they're pretty important, pretty significant. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. The time is now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Change the way you think. Convert internally and believe. Have confidence in, trust the message of the gospel. Follow me. He's looking for the internal change. That change can come about through the working of the Holy Spirit. So that even if you mess up from time to time, and you will because we're human, the fact that you want to do better, that you want to follow him more closely, that you want to change. He can work with that. So I tell you all this to try to get you to not panic. No matter how many times you have messed up during Lent, the fact you can recognize it and wish, even if you wish that it was different, that's good. Bring that to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is the deal. I messed up. I wish I could have done more. But I really am trying my hardest. Or if you haven't, say, okay, I haven't tried as hard as I could. I'm going to try harder. And it's not always, in fact, it really isn't at all, trying harder on your own with willpower. It's trying harder to listen to him, to ask for help, and to follow him and let him work in your life. That's what it's all about. So I strongly encourage you to not give up during Lent. We still have time. Lent is not over. I don't care if there's one day of Lent left. It's still not too late. So I encourage you to keep going. Look, I plan to be here. I hope that we can continue this journey together through Lent. And let's do it. Let's keep that finish line in mind. You know, and then let's move on beyond the finish line. When Lent's over, then let's move on past Lent, beginning on Easter and beyond, and let's do the best we can. Let's do the best we can to keep moving forward. All right, that's my little pep talk for today. I hope it worked. Hey, we're going to talk about suffering today, and that sounds like fun, right? But no, it's good. It's suffering. Believe me, don't go anywhere. You get your pep talk, now we talk about suffering. But the value of suffering. And I think it's a great message for us, especially during Lent, because we think more about suffering during Lent than we do the rest of the year. And let's face it, we are all going to suffer in some way today. And over the course of our lives, there will be some suffering involved. There always is. Let's make the most of it. And we'll talk about how suffering can actually draw us closer to Jesus and what we can do to respond to the suffering that enters our lives. You know, there is something we can do. We have some control when suffering enters our lives. A lot of times we think, well, I can't do anything about this. You can always do something about it. Why don't we talk about that for the remainder of the show? All right? Let's pray right now. Let's talk to our Father in heaven who just happens to be with us. He's with you. He's with me. He's pretty amazing like that. He can be in multiple places at the same time. Let's talk to our Father. Let's ask for some help. Let's ask him to guide us. And let's thank him for his presence. All right? I'm going to lead. You just follow along, okay? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence in our lives right now. Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for protecting us. Father, you are all powerful. You are all good. You are all loving. Nothing can happen in life without your permission. Father, you have created us out of nothing. You've created the entire universe out of nothing. You have provided for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived right up until the present moment. Father, as a result, we believe that you will continue to provide for us. We ask you this day to supply us with whatever it is that we need, material, spiritual, whatever it is that we need. Father, we desire to one day live with you forever in heaven. We desire to grow closer to you during the Lenten season by following your Son, Jesus. We desire, Father, to become more like Jesus by letting the Holy Spirit work in us. Father, we ask you to watch over and protect us and our loved ones. We ask you to heal those who are sick. Especially, Father, I want to lift up anyone affected in any way by the coronavirus, whether they're affected physically or spiritually or emotionally or materially or financially, however you want to say it. I ask you to grant them relief. Father, please pour out your Spirit on me today so that I know what it is you want me to say on the program. And please, Father, open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. And I ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, there you go. Thanks so much for praying with me. And I just wanted to highlight something. I talked about the coronavirus, and I said, just to make sure you get where I was coming from with this, people can be suffering from it, obviously, physically, by having the virus. They could be suffering from it spiritually. A lot of people are having a sort of a crisis in faith. Where is God? Why can't he fix this? Why is he letting this happen, you know? Or panicking, like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I die? That's a faith issue. So people could be suffering spiritually, physically, emotionally, and that's just the general anxiety brought about by a global pandemic. I mean, something we have never experienced to this level before. And then finally, financially, people are getting killed and crushed financially in so many different industries. You know, I've shared with you that I'm feeling the pinch, but so many other people, restaurant owners and business people, they are really struggling financially with this thing. Stores, restaurants are being forced to close. So a lot of suffering is happening because of COVID. So when I pray for relief, I'm trying to cover all the areas. So that's what I was talking about there. Please continue to keep everybody affected in your prayers, and know that if you are in some way affected in any of those ways by COVID, know that me and my family are praying for you every day. We really are. We're going to keep it up because I understand this is a really tough time. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. Thank you so much for tuning in. We come to you each Monday through Friday for 30 minutes each day. And don't forget that on the weekend, you can download the podcast of The Gary Zimek Show, which is my 30-minute weekly show. And in that program, I focus on the Sunday Mass reading. So the program is usually available on Friday, sometime Friday afternoon, so you can download it then. And we look at the Sunday Mass readings. Now, this Sunday is Palm Sunday. It's a big day. And I'm gonna really concentrate on the Passion. I'm going to read the Passion in its entirety, which is an incredibly powerful story. So if you get a chance, check that out. If you're interested in that program, if you are interested in signing up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, if you'd like to get a copy of my new book, Give Up Worry for Good, or if you'd like to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, the place to go for all of that is my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. All right, so let's talk about suffering for a minute. You know, I don't like suffering. Never have. Never have. If there, the way I've always been, I want to say the way I used to be, but I don't know how accurate that is. I mean, honestly, this is more of a present issue as well. I would always try to avoid suffering if I can. And to be honest, if I could avoid suffering now, I'm probably going to do it. You know, and God understands that. And see, the problem with suffering is it can be very good for us. It's a lot easier to pray when you've got your back against the wall. I've said this before. When you're in the midst of a crisis, because then you really realize how much you need God. When there's something that you're facing that you can't fix on your own, then you understand just how much you need God. When everything's going great for most of us, please, if you're not this way, then I'm not talking to you. But if most of us are going to admit that we pray harder when we're suffering. And when God wants to get our attention, there is no better way to do it than to send a storm our way. We saw it with the apostles and Jesus. We saw it throughout Scripture. People listen when they're in trouble. Because as human beings with a fallen human nature, you know, we got a lot working against us. We have a tendency to think that we're in control. even with COVID, even what we went through, what we're still going through over the past year, we think we're in control, but we're not. And in fact, the only thing we truly have control over, other than what God allows us to have control over, He gives us some control at times. But the one thing that can never be taken away from us, and He won't take this away, it's hardwired into us, is our will. We can always choose to do something mentally, to take a stand mentally, to accept our suffering. We can choose to say an internal prayer. Even if you're being held a prisoner, you can always choose to pray. You can always choose to deal with whatever hand you're dealt, right? That's that free will thing. You can choose to accept your cross, not just endure it, but accept it, to embrace it. And that's what the one thing we do always have control over. And that's really important for us to remember. Don't worry, that's just a package delivery. So in case you heard the doorbell, perfect timing. That's the one thing we have control over in life is our will. We can choose to accept whatever it is that's happening to us. And, you know, a lot of times we choose to do it. A lot of times we don't. Got the doorbell on the mind. That's why I said a lot of chimes. Got to love doing this show from home. But, you know, suffering, it's an important thing. God allows suffering into our lives. He doesn't send it always. He doesn't will sickness. He doesn't will death. That's all part of the original sin thing. But He allows it to happen so that He can bring a greater good out of it. Because remember, God's all powerful. He can stop suffering. You think about it, somebody criticizes you or says bad things about you or a member of your family. If God wanted to stop it, he could strike them dead, you know, or if somebody's going to perform an act of violence against you, God can find a way to stop it. But He allows these things to happen. It doesn't mean He doesn't care. It means He does care. And by allowing these things to happen, He proves to us that He can bring good out of any situation. So when it comes to suffering, you're not going to find a better example of suffering, a meaningful suffering, effective suffering, than looking at Christ on the cross. By what He went through, you and I, we were redeemed because of His suffering. So let's look at, I think, one of the greatest Bible verses, especially when it comes to suffering. Now, as Catholics, we believe in a concept called redemptive suffering, meaning that we can use the suffering that happens in our lives and accept it, embrace it. I like that word embrace better, because that's more than just tolerating it. We're not just tolerating. We are embracing our cross. We're carrying our cross. We're hanging on to it. And we're uniting it. We're able, again, that's the will thing. We have the ability to focus and say, yes, I choose to do this. I choose to unite my suffering with the suffering of Jesus. And I offer it up to the Father as part of the suffering of Christ. You know, we're kind of climbing on board His suffering. And this is really what happens at the Mass. And we're saying, Father, use this for good. Use it to redeem souls. Use it to bring about the salvation of the world. And the reason we can do that is because you and me, if we're part of the church, we're part of the body of Christ. So in Christ, we can offer up our suffering. And again, this is all a matter of the will. And the verse that sums this up, I think, better than any verse in the Bible. You know, if you have any question about the validity of redemptive suffering, it's biblical. It is absolutely biblical. In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians 1:24, here's the verse. Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Now, obviously, you hear this, it's kind of a disturbing verse because we look at this sometimes and say, well, what is lacking in the sacrifice of Christ? Well, nothing. Nothing's lacking in the sacrifice of Christ, but in order to understand this, we have to look at the mystical body of Christ. That's you and me. So in his mercy, God allows you and me as members of the body of Christ to do our part. You know, Jesus did his part, but you and me, we still have a role to play. In my flesh, I can complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Not lacking in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, but lacking in what you and me and other members of the mystical body of Christ can do or have not done. There is something lacking there. Every day I have new opportunities to offer up suffering. And my suffering is different than your suffering. We each have our own suffering. It can be as small as a traffic jam or rainy weather or cold or hot weather or as serious as a sudden death of a spouse, a serious illness, financial disaster. You know, these are all forms of suffering, some form of persecution, religious or otherwise. These are all forms of suffering. And the Lord allows us to do that, to offer up, again, an act of the will, our suffering, and to not waste it. We can waste suffering if we want by complaining about it. You know, that's why if it's a miserable day, like I love sunny days. Today's rainy, kind of miserable. And it's very easy for me to start complaining about the weather. Ah, this weather stinks. Can't wait till it's sunny again. But I can offer up the suffering. If I'm standing in a long line at the store, why waste it? You know, I wish I need to get better at this because I do waste it sometimes by complaining. Complaining does no good. See, that's the problem. Same with worry. It does no good. But if we learn to offer up our suffering instead of complaining about what happens, you know, if we learn to offer up our suffering and unite it with the suffering of Jesus, and we can do that. No matter what's going on, we are able to do that. You don't have to feel it. All you have to do is make that act of the will. I offer this up. Father, this is yours. Please use it for good. You can help your loved ones. You can help members of the church who have fallen away. You can help people who are suffering in some way. You can help the souls in purgatory if you want. I mean, there's so much you can do with suffering. It's just a matter of awareness. Am I aware enough to be offering it up throughout the day? Or am I just complaining about it? Or distracting myself so I don't have to deal with it? You know, when an unpleasant situation comes your way, even if you didn't ask for it, there's nothing wrong with praying that it'll go away. If you're sick, you can pray for a healing. Many times the Lord grants these healings. You know, don't feel bad about it. But when you pray about something and it doesn't get any better, you know, I'm really talking about long-term suffering here. But it can apply to a traffic jam. You know, Lord, please let this traffic. Maybe you're in a hurry. You have a meeting to go to, and the traffic's backed up. You could say a prayer. Lord, please let the traffic clear up so I can get to my meeting on time. But until it happens, you can offer up the suffering. But until the traffic breaks loose, Lord, I'm going to give you this and give this to you. Please use it for good. There's always some way to offer that suffering up. Yes, pray for it to go away. There's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, that's what Jesus did in the garden on the night before he died. But then it's a matter of how you respond when it doesn't go away. You can't choose much of the suffering that comes into your life, but you can choose how to respond to it. And when you do that, see, when you react that way, you're uniting yourself more closely to Christ. And when you do that, you're going to feel the peace that comes along with that union. So not only is your suffering going to be put to good use, you're not wasting it. You're praying more because when you're offering it up, you're talking to God or talking to Jesus. And you're working on your relationship with Him. And also you're getting the grace that goes along with a closer union with Christ, which results in peace. So you're more peaceful too, even in the midst of your problem. A lot of times, well, the world will tell us this, that in order to feel peace, you've got to get rid of all your problems. Well, that's not true. And second, you're never going to get rid of all your problems. The Christian faith tells us that we can receive the supernatural peace that comes from Christ, even if we have problems. So that's even more important. So use your suffering, especially during Lent. Don't run away from it. Don't complain about it. And again, this is something we can all do. You might have to rise above how you feel, because when I'm not happy, I like to complain. It's my tendency. Not a good tendency, though. So I think we should all work on learning to offer up our suffering, ask the Father to put it to good use, ask Jesus to help us carry our cross. He's going to do that. And then ask for that peace that flows from that deeper relationship with Him. And as a result, you can do a lot of good with the suffering in your life. All right? Hey, listen, I'm just about out of time. If you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I'm praying for you. And again, I've asked you before, please continue to pray for me. I really could use your help. If you'd like to make a donation to my ministry, you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. I'm incredibly grateful for your donation. So I thank you for that. And listen, hang in there. Don't give up on Lent. We still got plenty of time left. God willing, I plan to be back here with you tomorrow. I hope to see you then. God bless you. See you next time.